This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
It's Hashem, the Shir of Parsha Shmini. I'd like to discuss Avas Yisrael. What is Avas Yisrael? What is Avas Yisrael L'maisa in Halacha? What does Avas Yisrael mechayev me to do or not to do? So I would like to begin with the pasuk in Shmini, that after the Aveda of the Bayayim HaShmini, Shmini Limiluyim, after the entire Aveda, in pasuk Chav Beis, Perik Tes, pasuk Chav Beis, Vayisa Ari Nis Yadav Ela Om Vayivarchem. Vayered Me'aseis Chatos Ve'elav Ashlamim Vayivarchem. He benches Klal Yisrael. Zogt Rashi Birchas Kehanim Yivarechecha Yoyer Yisa Birchas Kehanim. No. Talent. Birchas Kain. Shmavurin the Rishonim that this was actually Aaron HaKohen was Mechadish Birchas Kainim over here. Aaron HaKohen comes out and he gives the bracha, and on his own he was Mechavin to the Nusach of Birchas Kainim. And the Rebbein and Shloim appreciated the Nusach to the point that it became Birchas Kehanim, a mitzvah in Parshas Behalayischa. Now it's interesting, every time a Kohen gives us a bracha, we know we give them a Yashikeach Kohen. We give them a thank you in return, a Yashikeach, a bracha, that he should have Koyach, and that he should have Starkeit, Yashar Koyach, for giving us this bracha. Now, l'chura, it's interesting. Why are we giving a bracha? It means the chamitzvah. The Kohen has a mitzvah to give us a bracha. He has a mitzvah. Tell me, do you get a Yashar Koyach for putting on tefillin?
No.
Do you get a Yashar Koyach for keeping Shabbos? A mitzvah is a mitzvah. You don't have to get a bracha for keeping a mitzvah. So why is it that we give the Kohen a Yashar Koyach? Now the truth is, we find the minig that when a person gets an aliyah, we also give him a Yashar Koyach. So there could be the pshat, because theoretically you should have gotten the aliyah. Every person should make Birchas HaTorah, and he's your shliach. So we give him the Yashar Koyach for being mitzi you. For being mighty. Yashar Koyach is a bracha because he's being mighty. But L'chaya by Birchas Kehanim is not being mighty you. So what's the inyan of giving him a bracha Yashar Koyach? So Habesa, I would say Pashit. The Kohen has a mitzvah levarech his Am Yisrael. But it says be a hava. He has to do it with a hava. So the more ahava he puts into the bracha, the more it's a bracha. So we give him a Yashar Koyach for the ahava, which is him, to do the actual steps and words of Birchas Kehanim, Tastach HaMitzveh. But the feelings that he puts into it, there's no gvul. The ahava that he puts into the bracha is him. Is him. I'm a meila. We get the Yashar Koyach of them. Again, Rabbi, it's a pashat. I'm trying to understand the pshat and given a bracha to a Kohen Yashar Koyach. Thank you, Kilu. So, l'chayra, we don't find anywhere that if a person does a mitzvah, he gets the Yashar Koyach for them. Unless we could come and say that he gave you a bracha, so you give him a bracha. Maybe it's a bracha for a bracha, maybe. Or we could come and say that since there's a biyahava which is a condition in the Brichas Kehanim, that already is him. He's told to do it by Ahava, but the Ahava that he puts into it, the levels of Ahava, is already him. And since it's him, Mamela, we give him a Yashikayach. Now it's interesting. Yadav. So the Pasuk says, Yadav, a Kreen Aksiv. The way it's written is Yadai. It's missing a Yud. The way it's pronounced, it's Yadav with a Yud. So it's a Chasar Ksiv. It's missing a Yud. Yadai. And it's Yadav Kri, the way it's written. Why is it written that way? Why is it Yadav, Yadav? What's the reason for this? So the emesis, I'd like to discuss an interesting medrash. The medrash says that at the moment that Aaron, Vayis Aaron is Yadav, Zacha b'matnas kahuna. The reason for matnas kahuna was this pasuk: Vayisa Aaron is Yadav elam, Zacha b'matnas kahuna. It's a medrash. This point, this act of Vayisa, brought about matnas kahuna. What's the connection of shaychus? So there's an interesting hakdama, an introduction from the Eltazeh, from my Eltazeh, the Beisarin, his svarim, Amei Tzacharin, Andrush, that he gives a bracha to the kihila that they should be matzliach in gashmis and ruchnis, and he says, what's the reason to give the bracha to the kihila? Because since his panasa comes from the kihila. So when he gives a bracha to the kehillah, he's giving with all his heart. And he says that's pshat matnas kahuna. He brings a marsha. That the reason why the kohen gets matnas kahuna, in order to help him with the bi'ahava. Because since he's giving a bracha, in order for it to be the better bracha, it has to be with more heart. So if he gives bracha and in return he gets matnas kahuna, because the more they get, the more they give back to him, so the bracha will be with a fuller heart. It will be with more meaning. Mit dem ganzen Herz. Die Haut am Reise. Die Hira Beisai. That the reason for Matnes Kehune is the Bi'ahava. It's to facilitate. It's to facilitate the Bi'ahava. Eibasai. Eibasai. That's the pshat here. It is because of this that he gets birchas, he gets matnas kahuna. Why? Because Aaron went out alone by Yevachim, and the Vayevachim needs it to be b'ahava. How do I guarantee more and more and more ahava? Ahava means a two-way street. I love you if you take care of me. It has to. Atadas is a haver aveisi. Now the truth is, del zeda das gesagt, more in a technical sense. Technically speaking, achazich, krieg, if I get from the bracha that I give you, then I'll give you with a more heart. But I'm thinking, mekenazagin even tiefer, it could be deeper. That a haver is based on giving, on doing. We're going to speak about this more barichas. That the key shayrish word in ahava is hav. Azeizak techida. Ahava is about giving. So I give you a bracha. You in return give me matna iske huna. Memela, that's ahava. And according to this, I understand now why in return we give the kohen a bracha. He gives me a bracha. I give him a bracha. The ahava is to build up the connection, the love between the Kayan and the Israel. Yeah, right. You should put this away because you're missing good stuff that you're not going to hear anywhere else. Yeah. I'm discussing Birchas Kayanim. Favas Gitman, why are we giving a bracha back to the Kayan? It's his mitzvah to do. So I'm explaining to you, the Medrash says that he got Matnas Kahuna at this point. Why does he have to get Matnas Kahuna when he gave Birchas Kayanim? So I'm telling you, the Elta Zayd in the Hakdam explains, because his bracha is a bigger bracha if he knows that he blesses you and in return you give to him from what you gave, he gave a bracha. I give you a bracha, parnasa, and from that parnasa you support me, so it's going to be with a full heart. But I'm saying it could be, it's even deeper. Ahava means give. Hav. The shayrish of ahava, say shteik mala svarim, the chidah speaks about it, is about giving. So in order for it to be true ahava, it has to be that I give you a bracha, you give me matnas kahuna, or in our case, you give me a bracha in return. It's all to build up the kesher, the ahava, because birchas kainim needs, it should be be'ahava. With this Rabbi Sai, I think we could discuss the uniqueness of Aaron HaKohen in this union of Ahava. What is Ahava? You know, Rabbi Sai, Ahava is something very special. All through the Torah, we talk about Ahava. Avas HaTorah and Avas HaMitzvahs and Avas HaShem and Avas Yisrael. What is Ahava? I want to tell you a nice maisa. It's brought down from, not brought down, but I once was zeichet to hear a shmuyas from Amnasan Svi Finkel, zeichet tzadik levracha, the Mira Shashiva that just passed away recently, some 2-3 years ago. He started a kail, the Mir started a kail in Borough Park, in the Mira Minyan, for nights, night kail for Bnei Torah, and I would join that kail many years ago. And we were zeicher that Rav Nosson Tzvi, when he came to America, was going to speak for us in the Kail. To my amazement, to my astonishment, he didn't say too much, but what he said was a story. He said, I'd like to share with the Olam a story. He said that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Mir HaShashiva, first Mir HaShashiva, Chaim Shmulevitz, he would take walks in front of the yeshiva. Even as he would walk, you know, before davening and after. And he would pass by a shoe store. There was a shoe store next to the yeshiva. A shoe store for children. And he would stare into the window. People didn't understand why every time he passed by, he would stare into the window of the shoe store. So they said to him, Rebbe, is it you want to buy shoes for the grandchildren, for Yontif? I will get it for you. We'll help you with the... I'll do the errand for you. He said, no. I come here because I want to see. What do I want to see? I see the way mothers buy shoes for children. Selfless devotion. Love. Ahava. Selfless devotion. This you're not going to see in the next world. This you can't experience in the next world. It's only in this world. I want to take it in. I want to see more. I want to see what it means, love. What it means, selfless devotion. I want to take in the sight, this ruchniistic thing called ahava. I want to experience it and see it as much as I could. I didn't understand what did it have to do with the Bnei Torah that was sitting there. I didn't understand at the time. And I left and I was thinking, well, what does he want? What is he trying? I mean, this is the message, the lesson for Chashuv B'nai Teiru, who are sitting and learning. And I realized, after some thought, after some time passed, he was teaching us what a Yid is about. It's all about Ahava. And Ahava is about everything we do in this world. Avas HaTeiru, and Avas HaMitzvahs, and Avas HaShem. Ahava means selfless devotion. Selfless devotion at the dust is Ahava. And this is unique to Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen excelled in this selfless devotion of Ahava. He mastered Ahava, Say Ahavas Hashem and Ahavas HaTeva and Kolshki and Ahavas Yisrael. He mastered it. And this is the Pshat Asher Kitshonu. It's a Kedusha, B'Kushasei Shalahara. It's a Kedusha. It's a Kedusha of Aaron. What was the Kedusha of Aaron? Sivanu levarech esam Yisrael bi'ahava. This ahava is a unique spiritual elevation that only Aaron had. Ahava. You know, there's a shaila, like I said, why does it say the word yaday singular form? Why does it say yaday singular form? So there's a meiridika vod from the Rapshitza, Velke. I just told you that in order for the Ahava to be, it needed that it should be a two-way street. It should be a two-way street, right? It should be that I give you and you give me, right? What happens if it's a one-way street? What happens, says the Rav Shitz, it's Yadei Chasa, which means that the hand, you didn't put any money into the hand. You came for a bracha, but you didn't support the kayin. Afal pi came by yavarcha. Aaron shteld avek that the ahava could be one-sided. I understood the Rav Shitz of Vart in light of everything we just spoke. Ahava needs to be a two-way street, but Aaron's ahava was so strong that even if it was a one-way street, even if it means only one way, yaday chasa, which means one hand, but the other hand, meaning the other hand that was supposed to give, didn't give. He walked away chasa. And afal pike. They say over a maisa, you hear? That the Satmar Rebbe Zecheinu Levracha, Heilige Satmar Rav, once gave a bracha, and he gave a hand to the person, and he expected that there should be pidyon. All rabbis, when they give brachas, they expect pidyon in return. The person didn't leave any money with the Satmar Rav, and he took his hand back. So the Satmar Rav said to him, a bracha, you have to pay for a bracha. You have to pay for a bracha. What is it? Yeah, you have to pay. Yada. Rebbes know that you got to put in the hand of the kohen, you got to pay it. So the guy was a mechutzif, and he tells the Satmar Rav, I don't understand, pay for a bracha? Look at the kohanim. By the kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, you had to pay them to give you a bracha? So the Satmar Rav said, yeah, that's why they walk around without shoes. That's why they walk around without shoes. They're busy giving brachas for free. What do you expect? Aaron HaKohen was mechadish that you give a bracha for free. Yadav, and that's this Rav Shitz of Vod. But I'd like to say another deher, another fataych. Here. It says, Vayisa Aronis Yadav El Ha'am. It's interesting, the El Ha'am. It should have been Me'al Ha'am, Keneged Ha'am. What's to the people? Interesting lashon. Vayisa Aronis Yadav El Ha'am. As if it would have said that he gave him his hand. Literally, he gave him. He gave Vayisa, he picked it up to his hand and he gave it to them. What's the pshat? So I'm thinking, could be the pshat is. There's another interesting halacha about Birchas Kohanim. In Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Chav Ches Sif Yud Beis, it says that the Kohanim, when they duchen, keep their hands together as one. I believe that that could be the remez here in the Yadav. The Lashon Yadai means it's two hands, but it's Yadai as one. Why is it that he puts both hands as one? I think the pshat is like this, Rabbi. In Svarim, it's mvuyer that we have two of everything. We have two eyes. We have two ears. We have two. What do we need two? Two hands. And the answer is, it's to teach a person that there's always two, for example, eyes. Svarim say, to look at the other guy good, and on yourself, you should look bikairis. And give yourself, you know, see your chisrayus, to see his milas and your chisrayus. Two eyes. Right? Bilam only had one, that's the vart. We spoke about it by Bilam. Bilam had only one eye, only saw bad. We spoke about Ayin Ra. He had one bad eye. When you have one eye, you don't see the milas and the chisrayus. How about two hands? The Gemara tells us what we need two hands. Yamin Smail Daicha and Yamin Mikari. The left hand should push away at times, and the right hand should be Mikarif. Aaron's kayach was that both hands was all be ahava. The Kayin's kayach was that even in his approach, where it needed to be daicha, he was able to achieve the same thing be ahava, that both hands were one. Vayisa, I think, is the pshat. Aaron gives both his hands to Klal Yisrael to help, to bench. Aaron was selfless. You know what hands are for? Hands is to obtain, to be kaina, to take. By Aaron it was Vayisa, to give. Aaron's hands were Vayisa la'am. It was given away to the people. The Gemara even speaks, Arkehanim Shlucha de Rachmana or Shlucha de Dan. How about themselves? Then there's no Shlucha de Rachmana and Shlucha de Dan. They're our messengers, or the, what about themselves? And the answer, there is no self. A Kayin has no self. A Kayin was the Kayach, and that's the Kedush of Aaron HaKayin. Be'ahava, totally devoted, selflessly devoted for Klal Yisrael. Selflessly devoted. The idea of selflessly devoted, you hear? This will leave for a different time. I want to talk a little bit about this inyan of ahava and selflessly devoted. You know, a child gets bar mitzvah. What is the mitzvah that symbolizes the bar mitzvah? The tefillin. I never understood why. He has mechuyav in all mitzvahs. Why did the tefillin become the mitzvah? That this is the mitzvah that symbolizes now bar mitzvah. He has mechuyav in all mitzvahs before. Chinuch. Now maybe he doesn't put on tefillin before, but some do put on tefillin a little bit before. I don't understand what the tefillin is the simon of a bar mitzvah. So I asked this question to Maran Mareinu, Ramesha Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. I asked him this question. I didn't understand why. I was a bar mitzvah bacha myself at the time. I think I was 14. And Ramesha was in Staten Island Yeshiva. I learned in Staten Island Yeshiva. And I asked him, Shashiva Zatzal, what's the pshat? So he explained to me something interesting, which at the time I didn't understand, even though I was embarrassed. I told him I did understand. He asked me if I understood, and I said, yes, I understood, but I really didn't understand. Fasteist! He asked me if you understand. I didn't really understand. But then I got to understand either more or less what he meant, and if it's not exactly what he meant, it's more or less this side. A child has love. A child is loved. But it's all based on how much you give him. Ahava. Do you know that the shayrish of Av and Ahav is also in the same shayrish? Av, Sav, Savita. It's the shayrish of Ahava. But it's about Hav, it's about giving. You know, even a child, when he learns, if you don't give him a prize, he's not going to want to learn. There's no such a thing as him giving, it's about him taking. You know what about Mitzvah Yingla learns? There's a whole new kesher with the Eibishter now. It's about only the Eibishter. You know what Tefillin stands for? Tefillin and Rishonim and Achrayim is about Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Mika Amcha, and we tell the Rebbein Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echa. It's about true Ahava. Selfless. It's about Ani L'daydi, the Daydi Li. It's about Varashtich Li L'Eilam. When we put on tefillin, we say, why? Erson means kinyan. I'm completely for the other. I'm almost owned by the other person. Klal Yisrael is like an isha to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Almost owned. owned by the Eibishter. You hear? It's a whole new relationship, a whole new Avodas HaKadosh. Tefillin resembles the child when he grows up now to understand with Das. It's not about getting. It's about now giving. Giving to the Eibishter, giving to Klal Yisrael. And that's what Tefillin resembles. Tefillin resembles this Yisoid. The Yisoid of Ahava of the Eibishter. Ani l'daydi v'daydi li. Complete selflessness in the relationship with the Eibishter. All I think about is the Eibishter. While the Eibishter shows, I only think about Klal Yisrael. And that's the maturity that he matures at his bar mitzvah. And I believe that this is what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was saying. When he sees Ahava, he sees something unique, because true selfless Ahava is almost not capable by anything or anybody, only by a father, only by a mother. And we have this with the Eibishter. This is a relationship we have with the Eibishter. This is a relationship we have with other Yidden, Ahava. And it's very special and it's unique. With this, Rabbi Isai, I would like to explain to you a Mishnah in Avos. You know, we learn in Avos, Perik Aleph, Hillel says, "Have a mitamid of Shalom. Oyev Shalom, Beroid of Shalom. You have to love Shalom. You have to run after Shalom." Now, L'chayra, why is this an Avos? Oyev Shalom, Beroid of Shalom. I mean, there's a mitzvah to be a Roid of Shalom. I mean, it can't be about Machlaikis, no. I don't need a mission in Avos to tell me that you shouldn't be like Kairach. Kairach v'adasa is a love. The loisir kikair adasa. Tell me, does it say anywhere in the Mishnayis of Avos that a person should keep Shabbos? Does it say anywhere that a person shouldn't speak Lashon Hara? No, because it's an issur to speak Lashon Hara. How did it turn into Avos? How did it turn into ethics? Mefurush mitzvahs. To love Shalom, to run after Shalom. I have a better question for you, L'chayr Rabbi. And this question, of course, Mefarshim speak about it. Why doesn't it just say to be an Ayyav Shalom? Hillel, Ayyav have an Ayyav Shalom, be an Ayyav Shalom. Why does it have to be that I be Talmid of Shalari? Tell me the halacha, just be an Ayyav Shalom and finished. I have another question. You know, Chazal tell us already the importance of being an Ayyav Shalom from the Eibishter. We learn from the Rabbi Nishlam. Why? The Rabbi Nishlam says there's a fight between a husband and a wife. My name should be erased. Saita, the waters of Saita, is my name being erased to bring Shalom. So you see clearly that even the Eibishter goes out of his way to such an extent to bring Shalom. So why do I need to learn it from Aharon if I can learn it from a bigger source? The Eibishter himself, and the Gemara learns it from the Eibishter. You know what the Mishnah should have said? Having me Talmid of Shalakash Baruch Hu. And how do I know you're supposed to be Talmid of Shalakash Baruch Hu? Because it says clearly, Mahu afata halachta bitrachav, you should go in the Eibishter's ways. It should have been like this. Hillel Aimer, you should be an Ayyav Shalom, because it says halachta bitrachav. Why do I have to learn from Aaron HaKoyim? So I was thinking, maybe, you know, listen, the Eibishter brings Shalom between a husband and a wife. All right, that's a serious thing, a husband and a wife. It's important to make Shalom in a home. Could destroy the whole home if there's no Shalom. But Aaron was, even by two people who are fighting in a shul, right? The Bar Tanura brings down from Avos to Reb Nosson. He saw two people that were in a fight, they're angry. You know what you could say to yourself? So what? So let them fight, who cares? What's the big deal? So if two people in shul get a fight over a chair, so they'll fight over a chair, big deal. Huh? What's the You know, there's a famous line that people say that any shul that doesn't have a good machlokes is still not a shul yet. You know, you have to have one good, you have to have a little bit something, you know. How could it be that Aaron cares so much for such a, between Oh, maybe that's mitamid of shalarim. The fact that the Eibishter is an Oyev Shalom, that could be in serious situations. But Aaron was any little fight he saw between two people, another person would say, ah, leave it alone, it's nothing, it's such a small little issue, ah. Still, he would try to make shalom between the two parties. Maybe. But I'm thinking of another point. Again, mitalmidov. Just say, learn from Aaron. Why do you have to be a Talmud of Aaron? The Charedim asked this kasha. Charedim was a Rishon in the times of the Beis Yosef. He says, he doesn't understand why the word Talmidim. Just say, look at Aaron and see what an Ayur Shalom is, and that's all. Why do we have to be a Talmud of Aaron? An official sign up in the hey, you're a Talmud, you're an official Talmud.
Teach others.
So there's a Meridik Charedim, a Chiddush. Charedim answers the question by saying that in Shamayim, there are many, many yeshivas. And each yeshiva has a giant in that yeshiva that heads the yeshiva. There's a yeshiva in Shamayim called Yeshiva de Rachmanusa, the yeshiva of mercy, of Rachmanis. And Aaron HaKohen is the Rosh Yeshiva there. And you sign up here in this world through your actions if you will get to that yeshiva. I always say over, you know, in Lakewood, in order to get into a yeshiva, as soon as the child is born, and maybe even before that, you have to sign up already in the yeshiva, otherwise you won't get in. Here we're learning that you have to sign up maybe even 70 years before to get into the yeshiva of Aaron HaKohen. You got to start acting in a certain way, and this is the way you sign up to join the yeshiva de Rachmanus of Aaron HaKohen in Shemayim. That's pshat mitalmid of Shalaren. You should be mitalmid of Shalaren. How? By acting in a way that you belong in his yeshiva. As Ezak de Charedim, Achidus, Ameel de Achidus, eh? That there's different yeshivas, groups in Shemayim. It's interesting, we always use the lashon yeshiva shomala. There's yeshivas there. Yeshiva shomala. Yeshivas over there. So the yeshiva shomala has in it one branch called yeshiva rachmanusa. And to join that yeshiva, you got to already start behaving here to forget. Otherwise, listen, if you don't prepare, you're not on the level. They'll say, you're a shvach bacha for us. You're not for us. So they'll send you out. They're not going to take you in. So to prove yourself that you're fit for the yeshiva, the rachmanusa, you need to act in this world like Aaron HaKohen. We have him, mitamidav, shal Aaron HaKohen. Habesai, that's grace in yonim. But I would say, pshatavidik a little bit, based on a medrash shmul. Medrash Shmuel says, you know why it says mitalmid of Shalaren? You got to learn what it means to be an Ayiv Shalom. You know why? Because if you don't take a lesson, you're going to go off. You'll make a big mistake thinking, like everybody unfortunately thinks, me? I'm the Ayiv Shalom. He's the Every time there's a machlaikis, every guy thinks, I'm okay. I'm an Ayiv Shalom. What are you talking about? He's the problem. I say something that you should have me tell me that Shalaren. Yeah. You have to learn from Aaron. Why? When two people were fighting, Aaron didn't say you're wrong and he's right. We're both right. You both have to make Shalom. You have to learn from Aaron because Aaron was really an Ish Shalom. If you're not really an Ish Shalom, you know what happens? You always think you're okay and that guy's the problem. There's a Meiridika Pasik that my Zaydi used to quote and explain. It says, Elikim Yivakish Nirdav. The Eibishter searches out those that are duressed, those that are Nirdav, that people's, you know, are going after them. They're Duffim. So the Zaydi Zechayin Levrach used to say, the Pshat is Elikim Yivakesh, he searches out who the true Nirdaf is. Whenever there's a fight, each guy claims that he's the Nirdaf. The other guy is right. Fakir, he's oppressing me. You could be doing who knows what, but he's doing it to me. He's oppressing me. Elekim Yivakesh. The Rebbeinu Shleilim searches out who the true Nirdof is. And he stands to protect the Nirdof. Unfortunately, Machlekes is complicated, that a person always believes that he's right and the other person is at fault. Memela, the Mishnah says, Havimi Talmida Shalarin. And I think he's saying a Meridika Teher. You need to have a Rebbe. You need to speak to someone who's a gadol who could give you insight. Because if you're not there to learn who's right and who's wrong, you'll definitely make the mistake thinking that you're 100% right all the time and that guy's always 100% wrong. Mitalmidav, this is something that needs shimush. This is something that needs to be learned. It needs to be spoken through, to take a lesson, to listen, to hear from it someone like Aaron HaKohen or the Aaron HaKohen of your time. That he should open up your eyes to teach you what it means to be an Ayyub Shalom. Because if not, you can live your life to be the Gresht of Baal Machloikas thinking you're an Ayyub Shalom. You know, people who are Bali Machloikas carry with themselves ammunition to prove that they're right. They always have certain things. For example, they use a Chsam Sofer. There's a very interesting Chsam Sofer on this Mishnah. Chsam Sofer asks the question, if you're Ayyub Shalom, then you're not a Ayyub Shalom. How could you be Ayyub Shalom and then Raidiv? Raidiv means to go against it, it's to oppress it. Says the Heilige Chsam Sefer that sometimes you have to be Ayyub the Shalom and sometimes you got to fight the Shalom when it's wrong. For example, Zimri, Pinchas went Brisi Shalom, he was an Ish Shalom, right? He was an Enikl of Aaron HaKohen. Yet he killed Zimri. Why? Because you have to be right of Shalom. Sometimes you have to attack the Shalom when the Shalom is wrong. Azazel thinks I'm safe. Ayyub Shalom, the right of Shalom. Sometimes it's Ayyub and sometimes it's right of. There's a Meiridika, the health of the Barbel, that people say over, it's a famous word. Isaiah told it to me, I saw it printed, I saw Reb Shneur wrote it in a few of his letters. Who was the biggest chesed tzaddik? Avram. Avram Avinu. Yet he sees light. It's not good to be together with light. He parid nami alai. Get away. Avram Avinu. The biggest bal chesed. Mekarev. He's mekarev everybody. And the answer is sometimes zakar bar ber pirut ishalom. Machlekes is shalom. Sometimes to separate is shalom. It's the way to make shalom. Bali Machlekes use this all the time. This is, you know, I once had a person that made, he had a big machlekes with a friend of his, name was Shalom. So he said, because he's Ayyub Shalom, that's why he's Raidiv Shalom. He likes him so much. That's why he's busy being right with him all the time. You know, if you're a Baal Machlekes, you find all ways of explaining justification for your actions. You hear that, Meisa? He told me, he's Ayyub Shalom, he loves him, that's why he's right of Shalom. Amesai, you can talk yourself anything you want, and the Tzav Shem is right. And the Rebbe Ber is right. And what's the nafkamina? Avram Avinu. Aaron HaKohen. They knew when and where. But if not, then you're going to have a problem that you're going to do it in the wrong context and then you can do the worst things. There's a time and a place where Ahava means unconditional love. And then there's a time and a place where Ahava means to be a Kanoi. I agree with you. But that's Mitalmid of Shalari. That's Pinchas. Pinchas was Yichse Achar and Pinchas ben Elazar ben Ifakar. It came from the fact that he was Aaron HaKohen's grandson, that he did what he did. You have to know Ahav. Ahav is something you have a Mitalmid of. It needs to be learned. You know, there's an interesting Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis. The Rambam writes that another thing that Aaron HaKohen had a Maila, he made Shalom even with Oiv Aveira. For example, a person was a Oiv Aveira. He did something. Aaron would see him in the street and say hello to him. Shalom Aleichem. The person would say to himself, wow, Aaron's saying hello to me. Oh, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for the Aveira I did. And because of that, he would do tshuva. It's frekta toisis yantif. But it says, al tischabel l'rashim. If a person did an Aveira, so how could you become his friend? It says over there, the lash of the Ram, he would be mechaver himself. He would start becoming the guy's friend. He looks at the guy and he's becoming his friend. So he should be, yeah, but you're not going to become friends with the Rasha Frekted Taisis Yantif. So the Mepharshim say, depends who. Aaron HaKohen was a chassid. A regular person, if he's mischabel l'Rasha, he might learn from the Rasha. It might rub off on him. But Aaron didn't have to worry about that. So he was able to become part and friend, part of the life of the Rasha, and he was able to sit at the same table with him and become his friend, and it wouldn't affect him whatsoever. I would say, Rabbi, say, Efshanandam Pshat. The Lash of the Rambam Pirush Mishnayis is, he saw that his Teicheira, that's the Lash of the Rambam. It says also that when he would say hello to him, he would be Baish. Oh, when someone has busha for what he does, then that's tshuvable. He's capable of doing tshuva. Aaron didn't go to a Rasha that was an Az that had no respect. That could be al tischabel Rasha. But Aaron's Ahava gave him the kayach to see the good in the person, to realize he's capable of doing tshuva. There's such a thing as judging a person black and white according to his actions. But if you don't judge with a hava, you'll never see what's really the person. Is he capable of doing tshuva? Aaron saw deeper. Aaron saw with love. And then mainly he was able to see who was really to be chayzer b'tshuva, and he could be mischabere love. That's pshat sheteichei ra. He saw there's something wrong on the inside. He saw that the person's not happy. He understood the person because he judged him through ahava, and that's the keich of mitamid of shalaren. Mitamid of shalaren means you have to learn from Aaron. You know, if a person wants to be a kanoi and it's black and white, everybody's black. You're going to find half the world is no good. In order to be a kanoi, it's got to come from teichei ahava. And once it comes from that, then you start to judge and see who is really a balaveira and who's not a balaveira. You see, the Mepharshim asked, the Rambam says clearly he would become friends with this person till he did tshuva. But you're not allowed to be friends with a rasha. So they say Aaron was allowed, he was a chassid. I'm saying a different teher. Aaron saw that the person was a rasha. You know, there's a very famous line that they say, why in certain places they're mevatel. They're mevatel ul tamid chacham. They say, this, he did this, he did that. So when they came to ask the head of this group, he said, I'm not mevatel tamid chachamim. First I make that they're not a tamid chacham. And then I'm mevatel them. First I show they're not tamid chachamim, and then I knock them down. You know, Aaron HaKohen did the exact opposite. Aaron HaKohen first made the person that he wasn't a baal aveira. And now he can go be machzir and b'tshuva. You see? First, Aaron worked the ahava to realize that the person is lost, the person has issues, whatever it is. Now that he's not a Rasha, so there's no insult to schabel a Rasha, now be machzir b'tshuva. You see, Ravei Sai? That's mitalmidov shel Aharon. To be a Talmud of Aaron means to follow and to learn and to take lessons from Aharei. Because it's not just blank to be an Oyev Shalom. It's not just blank not to make machlaikis. Because sometimes you have to make machlaikis. Other times you're not allowed to make machlaikis. But you have to learn this. This needs shimush. Having me talmidav shel ahare. This rabbeisai, I would like to tell you about meiridik zach in the end of the parsha. Meiridik, mamish meiridik. We find that the birds that are tame, one of them is called a chasida. It's called a tame dika bird, the chasida. Says Rashi, why is she called chasida? So what's wrong with that? Sounds pretty good to me. She does chesed. She does acts of kindness with her friends. So why is she a behemoth tameya? If you look at the Chizkuni explains that all the birds that are mentioned in the Torah, their names bring out their chisroinus, their tuma, their characteristics, why they're not kosher birds. So chasida l'chayra is not so bad. She'oisa chesed of chavrisel. So what? Why is she a tameya? Why is she a bird? Rashi says, "Oisa chesem chavrisel." So there's a very famous word, Kotzker Andre Zagen does, "Oisa chesed only with chavrisel." She only does chesed with her friends. She doesn't do chesed with everybody. She has a club of friends around her, and she does chesed only with those. If she would do chesed, a gewaldig, but she's always a chesed. For example, if you're not part of Chavri Seha, stay away. Don't ask me for money. Don't ask me for any favors. I'm not going to do with you. She's a chesed. Oh. So I said to myself, but it's still not enough to be a behemoth, tmeya. She's a chesed, Chavri Seha. God, she's a chesed. You know, the Ramban explains that all animals that are tamei is because they have in themselves the characteristics of a dairus. Dairus is an attacker. You see a vulture. That's a behemoth tamei. It attacks, it kills. All animals that are attacking animals are tamei. A cow is not an attacking, it eats grass. A sheep, they're not an attacking animal. So I didn't understand if it's not a wild bird. You know, I don't know if the Olam knows this. For example, an owl. It's a dangerous bird. People don't realize birds that are tame are dangerous birds. Birds that are tame is because they're, that's the word I'm looking for, they're predators. And there's a whole zoo. If you ever go to the birds, there's predator birds. That's what the Ramban says. They're behemoth tameis because they're predators. So I don't see it. Chasida doesn't make the mark. Doesn't make that level of a predator. She's always a chesem chavrisel. Good. So she's not a nice. You know, she's selfish. Okay. So where did it become a predator? A behemoth tameya? Bothered me for many years. This kasha, and I was zeicha this year for the first time to understand it. First time. I saw a Moshe Skein, which is Baliatesis. That says that you know something about this bird chasida? You know why she's called chasida? She's mamish a chasid. She attacks all birds that are mezana. She viciously attacks all birds that are mezana or she'ena b'mina, that doesn't stay with them within the species. And she plucks it and she rips the feathers, and she's an attack bird l'shem shamayim. Any animal that's mezana doesn't stick with its min, it attacks. You hear? There's a goyin in Aderes Eliyahu that says, what's the pshat in chasida, chasid? She goes to the mikveh. Every time she lives, she cohabits, she goes to the mikveh.
There's a medrash?
It's a goyin. The Vilna goyin in Aderes Eliyahu writes this. Wow. Chasida, ain't kleinekeit, eh? I claim again. Thought to myself, something is going on over here. On one hand, mamish tzadikus of a bird, yeah. On the other hand, we say it's tmeya. We say she'ayse chesedim chavriseha. And I have a different question. Then why do you call her chasida, which just sounds like a good thing? Just say she'ayse. Give me something that she doesn't do chesed. Give me some kind of a name. She should have been called lav chasuda. Lav chasuda. She should have been called. Or ain't a chasuda. Or kichasuda. Something. You know, Rabbi, what I think the pshat is, I chapped it this year for the first time. She's a kanoi, this bird. Ooh. She goes to the mikvah before and after. A tzaddik is like you never saw. Tell me something. How's your chesed doing? That she's weakened. It's a sign that the kanois is not real. It's a sign that when she is dairus and she attacks, it's not from kindness and caring like Biahav of Pinchas. It's because she's cruel. Deep down there's cruelty there. Pinchas was from love. He loved. Pinchas ben Elazar of Biahav. This is from cruelty. And the proof is, let's see her chesed level. You know, the Satmar Rebbe Zechayin of Racha, they used to attack him. And he was a tremendous kanai. He used to rip everybody. You know why he was accepted? Because people looked at the chesed that he did and they realized, and who did he do chesed with? Same people that he attacked. He would attack a person in Shita. And those same people he would give money, help them. That's a sign of love. You hear? I heard this from my Zaydi. My Zaydi told me not the word about the chasuda, but the Satmar Rebbe. I remember my Zaydi used to read, it's before your times, there were two newspapers, Der Yid, which was a Satmar paper, and Algemein, which was the opposite of that. I remember my Zaydi used to read Der Yid, his hands were shaking. He couldn't take it, all the different sheetas. The Algemein was more, you know, pro-Israel, pro-Israel, you know. So I asked my Zayda once, so why buy David? What do you need to read if it upsets you so much? He said, listen to me, the Satmar Rebbe, he attacks. But when you see all the chesed that he did, you know, all the chesed organizations that we have today in America, Bikur Chaim, Hatzalah, it was all the Rebbe, it was all the Satmar Rebbe. His love for every Jew is unbelievable. At the same time, while he was attacking, this was a lesson in what it means, kanoyis. Kanoyis. What a kanoy really means. Briskarov was a kanoy. But at the same time, his love for every Jew was unique. This, Rabbi says, is the lesson. I want to show you something interesting. The Chazer, Rabbi say, worst. It's the worst. It's the Simon of Tumah, yeah? Why is the Chazer the worst of Tumah? So there's a klayaka that says an interesting vod. If you look at the pasuk, it says because he's a mafris parsa, but he's not a malagera. Okay, so he's missing the chewing of the cud, but it has this. Frek the klayaka, it's not because he has a, even though he has a split hoof. It shouldn't be because ki. It should have said that the chazer's treif lamrot, regardless that he has a split hoof. Not because he has a split hoof. Says the Klayakar, no, it's because he has a split hoof. The fact that he has a split hoof and that he's a Malakir, he walks around showing everybody how kosher he is. He walks around, in Yiddish there's an expression, Chazakashafis, which is an expression for someone who acts one way, showing that he's holy and he's Gvaldik and he's spiritual, and the truth is he's really not that. That's the Simen of Tumah. Azeizak the Klayak. Do you know that when Mashiach comes, the Chaz is going to be kosher? Ramban brings us down. That's why it's called Chazir. Mashiach Zog. It's going to return. I was thinking to myself, why? Avazel Zainas. When the Targum says, in this world is an Eilam HaShekel. The Chazir is Olam Hazeh. When Mashiach comes, on Mallard's day, there'll be no Sheker. The Chazir's Tumah is going to subside. There'll be wars. It says clearly, there'll be wars when Mashiach comes. According to one sheet of the Rambam, so predators will have, but the Sheker. On Mallard's day, Hashem, there will be clear the truth. The fact that you could, I want to show you something interesting. If you look at Peirik Shira, all animals, even the treifa ones, say Shira. The only one that doesn't say Shira is the Chazir. Says the Ayvitz.
Why?
I don't know.
How do we know?
There's no.
Was that your question?
How do you know
that Chazal?
What
is Shira? Peirik Shira.
Peirik Shira.
No, I wasn't sure what he was meant. I thought he was asking me if I ever spoke to any of these guys. I wasn't sure what you asked me exactly.
A couple years.
So the question is, why the Chazir more than anything? So maybe the Chazir is so tamay, it's so... Yayvitz. You know what the Yayvitz says? The Chazir has an interesting tchuna. You ever see the Chazir stick is down? It can't get its head up. It's the only animal it can't pick it. He can't look up to Shemaim. He looks only down to the earth. He can't say Shira. You know what I think the Pshat is in a Vesai? It's amazing. You ever see a Chazir? There's no way. He doesn't have. He can't. It's down. It's really. He's created with his head down. Pshat. Artsy. He's only in this world. So mainly he plays this game. Yeah. Sheker. Person who looks up to Shemayim, he's connected to the Yevishter. There's no Sheker there. Even the most Tamidic animal speaks Shira to the Yevishter because he understands. Understands. Marabu Masech Hashem, you created me. The Chazir is the only one that don't look up. You hear? These are Simani Tumah, Rabbeinu. You know what Simani Tumah is? The contradiction, the Sheker. Ahava is there to see clearly. And it's very possible the fact that the Kohen works in the Beis HaMikdash and he's completely devoted to the Eibishter, so it's he who could have Levarech his Am Yisrael be Ahava. He's disconnected from the world in such a way that he sees the world purely. With this, I'd like to end with a vart, Rabbeisai, if you don't mind. Maybe that's the pshat why he got matnas kahuna when he gave birchas kahanim. We don't want the kohen to go out to the outside world. If the kohen is going to have to go out and make a living, it's not going to be b'ahava. He's going to lose the clarity, the kedusha, the sensitivity, the seeing the truth beyond what's in front of him, if he goes out to the world. So we tell him, you stay in the Beis HaMikdash. We need Bi'ahava. And we'll supply you with the sustenance, Matnas. Maybe after everything we just spoke, we now go back to the original question. Why does Aaron HaKohen get Matnas Kahuna? Because he sticks his hands out of La'am, Bi'ahava. So to keep those hands pure, to be Neki Kapayim, we need a Neki Kapayim from Birchas Kohanim. We tell you, stay away from the business world. Stay away from the outside world. You stay in the Beis HaMikdash. Min HaMikdash LaYetze, we'll come to give you the food. They say over that the altar from Nevardik, how did he start his movement? He was a businessman. The altar, I heard this from Isaiah Zechariah Levracha. The altar from Nevardik was a businessman. He was traveling to a business endeavor. A friend of his met him on the train and says, Yoizel, his name was Yoizel, Avu Geistu. Says, okay, machna leben, I'm going to make a life. A leben in Yiddish means parnos. So he says to him, Uvas geistu ton machna leben? Something clicked in his head. Vas geir ton machna leben? What am I doing to make a life? Make a life, living, make a... snapped. Something snapped in his head. He was a businessman. Rabbi Yoizel was a businessman. And he started thinking to himself, make a life. What am I doing to make a death? A life is few years you live. What am I doing to prepare myself for death? He got off the next stop.
Go back home.
Went right back home. Yeah. His wife told him, what happened? He says to him, don't ask. He went to the basement for 22 years. He locked himself in the shul of Nevardik. That's when he was Mechadish, the Musar of Nevardik. And people used to bring him food. There were two holes, Fleishiks and Milchiks. And in the Beis Medrash, they would, the whole town, Rabbi Yoizel from Nevardik, food, yeah. You know what they were, the pshat is? Rabbi Yoizel realized, out there, you're not going to make a Rabbi Yoizel, you're not going to make Nevardik, you're not going to make a Levin, you're not going to make a Tate. A Tate you'll make. And a Levin was the Shmachetav. This is not, we tell the Kohen, Be'ahava, purity, Kedusha, you stay in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll come and bring you through two holes, the Mahmas Kehuna. This Rabbeisai is Ahava. The Indian of Ahava is Kedusha Rabbeisai. And it takes pure eyes and pure heart to see it. Otherwise, you get fatumult. You can be the biggest Baal Machlokes thinking you're right. You lack the klarkeit. This I want to reiterate, me talmidov. You need a Rebbe. You need someone to look up to. You need someone to be magic you. You have an issue with your neighbor, your friend, don't decide on your own how to react, because you'll probably be wrong. Because a mensch has negius. A person has his own, that he's always right and the other guy's always wrong. Have me talmidov, go ask. These are certain things need. And this, Rabbi, I'd like to end to just answer the first question that I asked you. What's it doing in others? To be your Oyev Shalom, your Oyev Shalom, it's a mitzvah. And the Teretz is, we're not talking about being Oyev Shalom, your Oyev Shalom. We're talking about something completely different here in this Mishnah. We're talking about to understand Ahava, to understand what it means, real Shalom. A person could read in the Pasuk, don't be like Kairach. You know what he reads it? He reads it, don't be like Kairach means, if I fight with Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm Kairach, but if I fight with my friend, I'm Kairach. He can say a million different things. Having me Tamidav Shalarin means, and that's why it's an Avos. You know what Pirkei Avos is to teach us? How the Avos understood mitzvahs. You see, there's Torah, but then there's the way the Avos dealt with mitzvahs and taiva, the way they perceived it, the way understood it with their feelings and their hashkafis, that needs avos, that needs mitamid of shalar, and that needs to look at the Friedika, the previous generations, and learn from them. Because if you're going to just go by the letter of the law, like I quote my Rebbe Reb David, a person could kill another person with the Shmiras Halashon. You could do it. A guy could take a Shmiras Halashon and kill the other guy with it. No. You don't understand what the Shmiras Halashon is based on. The avos, the principles, the ethics, then the person is able to do the worst things under the guide and disguise of Oyev Shalom.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.